For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
So tonight I want to introduce for our practice period coming up and for our sitting next Sunday, I'm going to introduce Sandra and Cultivating the Empty Field. So we have this practice commitment period for 8 weeks starting Sunday with an all-day sitting. And the point of this is to gather together and practice together for each of us to try to increase our sitting schedule a little bit, to stretch ourselves into the practice. And this is a, although, you know, the requirements are somewhat flexible because we are a non-residential urban sangha. And so we make accommodations for each other and flexible. But to really intensify our practice and do this together. So this is a kind of sangha event, this practice period, and a number of you have already signed up. Tonight happens to be the deadline for signing up both for the 8-week practice period and or just for the sitting this coming Sunday. So for new people, I want to encourage you to consider signing up for the practice period. It really is a sangha event. We gather together. It's a good way to kind of, there's a number of newer people here, and there's actually several new people who've signed up for the practice period. It's a way of connecting with the practice, with each other, with sangha, with teaching. So we'll have 4 all-day sittings. The first one is Sunday, and then we'll end with a 3-day sitting, 17, 18, 19. You can come to the sittings and you can come to any of the talks without signing up for the practice period. But the practice period also, there'll be 2 discussions. There will be Dharma companions. So you can choose or we will connect you with somebody to meet with in whatever way works for you. You both to talk about the practice and to share practice considerations and questions. And this practice period, I'll be focusing on the teachings of Hongzhi Zhangzhui from a book I did a while back called Cultivating the Empty Field. For people who sign up for the practice period, we will, thanks to David Ray, who's online now, provide the text for the practice instructions, which are the heart of the Hongzhi was an extraordinary figure in our lineage. His dates are 1091 to 1157. You don't have to remember that, but he was a century before Dogen, founder of our tradition in Japan, and was a great influence on Dogen. And his teachings are his Dharma talks or practice instructions are encouraging, evocative descriptions of our practice and the heart of our practice. And so I'm going to read some of those tonight as an introduction. Hongzhi also introduced many koans. He's the initiator of the Book of Serenity koan collection. So his teachings are part of a long tradition. It goes back to Shuto, who wrote the Harmony of Difference and Sameness we sometimes chant, and to Dongshan, considered officially the founder of our school in China, who wrote the Song of the Jewel Mary Samadhi. And there are many ways in which there's a consistency to this tradition from China up to Dogen and to Suzuki Roshi, who brought it to America, California. And what we are practicing here today and this year and for all of us. So, I thought as an introduction to Hongzhe tonight, I would read some of these practice instructions, or parts of them, and comment a little bit. And then if you have comments or questions about them, we can we'll have some time for that. Or if you have questions or comments about the practice commitment period, we need to talk about that. So I'm going to start with one of these practice instructions that I've titled The Practice of True Reality. And it actually begins, Hongzhe says, the practice of true reality is simply to sit serenely in silent introspection. So that's what we've been doing. This Zazen sitting, Hongzhe famously calls silent illumination or serene illumination. So we just chanted a writing by Hongzhe called The Guidepost to Silent Illumination. And this is, you know, very much the introduction to Zazen and to what Dogen called Chikantaza, you know, just sitting, or sometimes called dropping body and mind. Anyway, Hongzhe says the practice of true reality is simply to sit serenely in silent introspection. When you have fathomed this, when you have gotten to the depths of this, when you have allowed yourself to sink into it, he says, you cannot be turned around by external causes and conditions. Of course, this is our usual life. We are turned this way and that by external causes and conditions. We are karmic beings who are caught up in the causes and conditions of our life and our world. But Hongzhe says, when you have fathomed this, you have deeply realized this true reality practice, you cannot be turned around by external causes and conditions. This empty, wide open mind is subtly and correctly illuminated. It is subtle. It's, you know, just it's Zazen. See, for many people, feels difficult just to sit still and upright for whatever, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, for a day this coming Sunday, we're walking in between. Anyway, Hongzhe says, spacious and content, without confusion from inner thoughts of grasping, effectively overcome habitual behavior and realize the self that is not possessed by emotions. This doesn't mean that we get rid of emotions. But we sit still, silent, seeing, awake, paying attention, seeing thoughts and feelings coming up, seeing emotions coming up. And there's a sense of space or spaciousness. And we can develop a kind of contentment. Not that there are not things that trouble us in our life and in the world, but we can also see the side of just being content with this situation as we is. So he says, without confusion from inner thoughts of grasping, effectively overcome habitual behavior. So, and realize the self that is not possessed by emotions, not to get rid of emotions, but we don't need to be caught up in them. We have positive, negative, and neutral response to everything we are aware of, and so we can grasp after the positive things. We can get angry or upset about the negative things, but how do we just overcome our habits, our habitual behavior, and realize the self that is not possessed by emotions? Hongzhe continues, it must be broad-minded, whole, without relying on others. Such upright, independent spirit can begin not to pursue degrading situations. Here you can rest in. So it's not that we sit a period of Zazen and we sit a week of Zazen and we sit Zazen regularly for some long period, and then we're free from our karmic situations. But we don't have to pursue degrading situations. We don't have to get caught up in it. We can rest. And we can relax completely, as one of our other chants says. Bright and penetrated, you can immediately return a court and respond to deal with events. This is very important. This is the point of this. It's not that we find some bliss state and then settle into that and get into spiritual bypass and ignore our problems, ignore the difficulties with the people around us. We don't ignore the difficulties in the world. But when we are calm enough to just sit and pay attention steadily to all of this, all of our habitual behavior, all of the grasping, all of the anger, all of the emotions within us and in the world, we can actually be calm enough and present enough and familiar with us enough with our own stuff to respond to deal with events. So the point of this is not to escape from the difficulties of the world. And this Sangha, this wonderful Sangha, is a non-residential Sangha. We are all involved in the world, in our everyday activities, our family, work situations, and so forth. And then how do we respond? How do we respond helpfully? And this is a great art, and we don't always know, but we have a greater capacity to be, to make attempts at helpful response when we settle into this serene, silent introspection, as it says. And then, of course, we get up and we go out into our life. So, just a little bit more from this one, and I'm just going to read a couple of others, two others. He says, in this situation, everything is unhindered. Clouds gracefully up to the peaks, the moonlight glitteringly flowing down mountain streams. The entire place is brightly illumined and spiritually transformed. An unobstructed and clearly manifesting responsive interaction. So, one of the hallmarks of Hongzhi's teaching is he uses these beautiful nature metaphors to describe our own awareness and interactions. Clouds gracefully floating up to the peaks, the moonlight glitteringly flowing down mountain streams. Just the natural events of our environment and of our world. And Hongzhou was lived in the mountains of China, as Dogen lived in the mountains of Japan. But we can translate this for our own situation, living amid the plains and the skyscrapers and the great lake and the river of Chicago. How do we see the naturalness of this kind of response? He says, continuing, cultivate and nourish yourself to enact maturity, achieve stability. So, this is an example of one of his teachings. I want to read one. There's a couple others I was going to read, but I want to leave time for comments too. I'll read one that's particularly about Sangha, Dharma community. This is called Spectacular Images of Clouds and Dragons. Again, starting with some nature metaphors. In the wind above, clouds and dragons harmoniously follow each other. very naturally from the first, they do not need to express their intentions to each other. So clouds is a traditional image in East Asia for, well, it's also just literally clouds, but also monks are called Unsui, clouds and water. So this idea of practitioners drifting around the clouds. And then dragons is an image for skilled adept practitioners. So very naturally, clouds and dragons harmoniously follow each other. From the first, they do not need to express their intentions to each other. So we're all here with some version of the same intention to help relieve suffering, to help find some calm and steadiness for ourselves and those around us in this really challenging, difficult world. This is a difficult year, 2024, and will continue to be. How do we find a way to engage in that? He says, Zen practitioners are accommodating and, based on causes and conditions, can harmoniously practice together. So, arriving without display, emerging unconcealed, nothing is hidden, Dogen says. The wondrous clouds and dragons enter the whole scene and cannot be confused. Casually hanging above the 10,000 features, each distinctly presents a spectacular image. So each of you here on Zoom and in the Lincoln Square Zendo actually presents a spectacular image. To actually take on this practice, it's amazing that each of you has done this, is doing this, has this as your life. Whether you've been practicing regularly or occasionally, the fact that you're here shows that there's on each of our seats a spectacular image, complete without a hair's difference between them, springing forth with spontaneity. All these practitioners clearly exemplified coming home, but still must investigate until they have eaten their fill. So this is about coming home. This is about, this practice is about being yourself, radically being yourself. Not trying to run away from all of the habitual behavior, not trying to run away from your karmic condition, but just, okay, what is it like to sit like Buddha? We are each expressing Buddha in our own way. We are sitting upright like Buddha. How do we connect with awakening? And of course, losing our balance. Suki Roshi talked about constantly losing our balance against a background of perfect balance. So what Hongzhi is talking about is how to settle into and recognize this background of perfect balance. So this is what we'll be talking about, the Hongzhi's teachings, the next couple of months. Just to finish this one, he goes back to the scenery. He says that still we must investigate until we have eaten our fill. So this is to really fully digest our lives and our sangha and be fully informed by how it is that Buddha is present on your seat, how it is that awakening is present in your life. And then Hongzhi says, clouds disperse and winds die down. The autumn sky clears and sets. The waters of heaven are limitless. Where the ground is on its own, the brightness begins to be realized. So this brightness is precious. And this is about the ground, where the ground is on its own. So we sit, whether we are sitting in a chair or sitting cross-legged or kneeling on the ground. We sit connected with this earth, with this ground. We're studying a book in our Friday morning group, The Long Reads on the Shamanic Bones of Zen. This is a practice that comes out of the earth. There are many stories about that in the Zen tradition. And all of the images that Hongzhen uses for describing our stream illumination meditation are expressions of this earth. So when we awaken, the Buddha touched the ground to verify that it was awake. And there are many other stories in the Zen non-Zen tradition about our connection to the ground. So, and then sometimes we fly freely, like clouds and dragons. So, that's a little sample of the teachings of Hongzhe that we will be looking at over the next 2 months. Again, if you want to consider joining the practice commitment period, there's information on the website, but you need to do that tonight. It's the deadline for that. And also, if you're interested in coming to sit this coming Sunday, please consider that and sign up. That's something if you want to. So this is a wonderful opportunity that we have coming up to really focus on how we settle into the world. How we settle into the world. So I'll shut up and just call on whoever. Jerry, you can help me call on people online and see people in the room. Any questions, comments?
The first practice instruction that you read referenced grasping, and it turned around my idea about grasping a little bit, because I've always thought about it in terms of desire and grasping for things that I want. But it turned around a little bit where I think about it tonight as like grasping after like a video game controller or like some sort of like, this is a pretty rocky past couple of months and will be for another couple of months of my life. It's not bad, it's just exhausting. The desire to have some control over it, to try and like, you know, make it easier by grabbing the controller, grasping after the controller, feels like, I feel like that this practice instruction is instructing me to see kind of the delusion of that, and that there's a, like, it's considered an old proverb about the question of life is not a problem to solve but a reality to experience. That's a very nice quote. I think it applies to this idea of control that I have about, you know, being like, if I'm on a mountain, I can expend a lot of energy trying to like shape the mountain to be less difficult to climb, but it's going to be not very fruitful usually, but I can walk up the mountain, that's a difference, choosing what energy I give there makes a big impact on my sustainability.
Good, thank you. Yeah, this is a really important point, so thank you for bringing it up. This grasping, you know, it's not just, you know, trying to get things or grasp people or grasp ideas. It's part of the inherent workings of our consciousness. Any awareness, according to early Buddhist psychology, has some object of attention. And yeah, so I think it's a natural facet of our deluded subject-object mind, this dualistic mind, to want to have control. And it's not that that's necessarily bad, and there are things we can control. So all of you, whether you're on Zoom or here in the room, you know, we're able to control the situation such as you showed up tonight, okay? So there's things we can control, of course, but there's a lot that's beyond our control. So a lot of what Hongzhe and Dogen and Zen practice teaches us is about letting go. I would say letting go is the essential art in Zazen and Zen practice. Letting go doesn't mean pushing away. Doesn't mean giving up. So we take care of the world and of ourselves and the people around us and the situation in the world as best we can, trying to do what might be helpful and avoid our patterns of harmfulness. But ultimately, we can't control things. We can't control our life. We have to settle into it and appreciate it and enjoy it. So thank you. Hongzhe talks more about this and we'll come across it more, but just letting go of our idea of control is important. Other comments or questions and responses? Okay, yeah, it's almost time to stop. But David, if you have something, please.
It's interesting. Dylan and I heard the same first thing, and we took it in different directions. It's interesting because as a chaplain, I'm dealing with death all the time. But today I learned that my cousin passed away. And someone who I was very close to, more like a brother than a cousin. And I heard it grasping at the emotion. And I'm torn here. Do I push away the emotion? You're saying don't push it away, but I feel like if I let go of it, I'm pushing away the love and the grief.
Yes, so that's important. Letting go does not mean pushing away. Yeah. It means really feeling what you feel. So I used to still sometimes recommend as a mantra that you go on. How does it feel? How does it feel to be in this body mind here tonight, in this lifetime, in this situation? Feel what you feel. But what this practice allows us is a kind of space around that. So you don't have to. So grief is difficult, and I'm so sorry for your loss. How do we feel that? How do we, doesn't mean not, so, there's this heretical school of Zen zombies who try and, you know, be stoic and impassive and never feel anything. it's not so helpful. So to feel what you feel, but then to have this inner space and balance to, how do we process that? How do we accept the sadness? Or, you know, feel the sadness, but not run away from it either. So this is a difficult practice, not because it's difficult to get your legs in some funny sitting position, although that can be too, but just because we open ourselves to being present in our life, in this world, with the difficulties.
So it's not It's not trying to say, you know, let this go. You know, because when I hear let go, say let go of the emotion. In a certain way, I hear that also is a way of just pushing it away. Just, you know, let go of it. It's not pushing it away.
Exactly. It's not pushing it away. It's letting go of how, of our obsession with it, letting go of our fighting it, letting go of our, you know, we react to all kinds of things. We react with anger to things that are in the world that allow us to feel our anger. We react with, we feel sadness, we feel grasping. All that stuff that we feel, how do we settle into it in the context of clear, clean, held, upright presence? We can choose how to respond to it. We've been wailed, that's okay. There's no crying in baseball, but there isn't then. So, you know, it's okay. Feel what you feel. But don't allow yourself to be... Because sometimes what happens is we do get caught up. You know, that's human, that's natural. But how do we actually breathe into it, exhale from it, find something, this greater space, which we can respond to whatever situation is happening, or make our best effort to respond. So thank you for that. We're a little past time, but if there's one more comment or question, response, all at once, nice. Okay. Well, thank you all very much. Whether or not you formally signed up for the practice commitment period, which you might consider tonight as the last chance, please feel free to come to any of the Sunday or Monday talks in the next 2 months before May 19th, all of which will be related to this human animation practice. So we'll close with the four bodhisattva vows.
Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it.
So thank you all very much.